And it's time to talk to the radio voice of the Utah Jazz. His interview on the station, on the show, is brought to you by Bucked Up Energy. Real ingredients, real focus, unreal energy. Visit buckedup.com to find your local retail store. Mention code KSL in store to get your free energy drink. No purchase necessary. He is the one and only David Locke. What's up, David?
Jake Scott, one of the best out there. How are you?
Good, buddy. How are you? It's crazy. This season has gone by so slowly yet so fast at the same time.
Yeah, they all have their own rhythm to them. Last year we had that bizarre scheduling thing. I don't know if you remember where we played all those road games and was, yep. And then we were home forever. That was one of the most bizarre years I've ever had. I was as tired in the middle of that season. I actually remember kind of feeling sick just from fatigue that I've really ever felt doing this job. And then this year I'd say it's been kind of more of a, we haven't had that kind of crazy stretch of games or terrible scheduling. It's just been kind of these ups and downs of emotions and, you know, tough start where I remember vividly wondering, oh my gosh, are we going to lose to Detroit and San Antonio in a span of a week? And like their losing streaks were going to be, I don't remember what the numbers were, right? But they were historic and you were scared you're going to lose to both. And then right at that moment, the team got hot. And then obviously we've closed in, find more and more out about our young players every day and just putting a big burden on them and seeing how they deal with it.
I continue to be haunted by the conversation that emerged from last season that the last 25 games of the year don't matter in these situations because there's just not much you can take from them. And then I look at, the Jazz are 3-24 in their last 27 games, and I'm trying to do my job and figure out what matters and what doesn't. And do you have any concept of what is real and what's not real over the last 27 games?
It is an interesting. I have generally believed, particularly when looking at, good teams, like the first 20 tells me what I want to know. Like that, those are the 20 games that is, when I'm like, who are you going to pick as your champions? Like, well, let's go back and look what the standings were after 20 games. So I generally have believed in that. And I've generally believed that you can make a really, really big, the two areas where you can make the biggest mistakes in evaluation are the final 20 games of an NBA season or playoff series. In other words, there's matchups that individual players can be really good at in a playoff series, but they're not right, and it just happened to be right for them. And then you go decide that player's really good. Well, the truth is that player was just really good against that team, and they happened to play him six times. Those are the huge contrasting moments where you can make really big evaluation mistakes. So I do generally look at the last 20 with a little bit of a, hey, let's make sure we know who we were playing against, what those games were, really dig in to a second level. Now, this year might be a little different in that because of the play-in and the way it's working, there are 20 teams that are still going pretty hard right now. There's certainly 8 of them that aren't, but there are still 20 of them that are going pretty hard right now.
So with that in mind, the evaluation is difficult in these circumstances. I'm looking for something from you, David, that's optimistic that you've seen in the last 20 games. What gives you optimism? I think the fan base is a little down, but there are things that are going right on the floor. Give me one.
Oh, I think the first one is that you just know that you've got the right guy in charge in Will Hardy. Like, I think if you look at some of these other teams, they've been in this stage and they're not clear about their leadership or their direction. And then that gets really questionable. Like, do we have the right GM? Do we have the right ownership? Do we have the right president? I think there should be really almost no doubt from a Jazz fan on, Ryan Smith as an owner or a governor. Danny Ainge's track record speaks for itself. His vision is truly championship based. The hardest thing, there's a really interesting line here, like really probably how much pain we can handle is directly correlated to how much future success we might be able to have, right? I do think there's a level where like you bail because it's too hard. Yeah, then you probably don't make it that far up the mountain, right? If you're hiking up a really steep pitch and this is hard, we're gonna quit early. you don't get to see the view at the top. And there is something here where the more pain you endure, you're probably increasing your chance for long-term success more, which is really hard. And so I think that when you look at where we are, you have leadership that seems really committed to the task, and in Ryan, Danny, and Justin. And then I think Will Hardy's clearly the right guy, and Jake and Ben, you know, Jake, you're hearing all of his post games, and Ben, you've been there for all of his, you know, there is an approach and a vision, and there's things they've done this year that, you know, don't help them win on a nightly basis, but that are built for long-term success. They changed the way they defended for a while because the guys were so scheme-based. Nobody was guarding their man. They're like, okay, we're not switching. For the next five games, we're not switching. Guard your freaking man, right? Like, and that's not a great way to play defense in the NBA, but it gets a message across to the young guys that, like, you are responsible still for yourself. And frankly, our defense has gotten a lot as tough as it's been. We've moved from 30th to 24th. It's not great, but it's not, that's at least the right direction. So I do think we've just seen a lot of little areas where you're seeing these guys make strides and you have the right leadership. From the standpoint of our young players specifically, I just think exposure and hopefully understanding of what it takes. I haven't seen anything, you know, from Keontae Bryce or Taylor Hendricks that tells me, oh my gosh, we have the next this. But I'm hoping that the struggles and the difficulty let them understand how hard it is and how hard they're going to have to work, and that, oh, I am at a different level of playing than I ever thought I was going to be, and this is way harder.
I was going to ask you to give me which of the three rookies has the highest ceiling, but I don't want to do that. I want to ask you, what do you see the ceiling as for those three guys? I think that might actually be more interesting.
I don't think their ceilings are any different than what I thought they were when the year started. Whether they're going to reach them or not, I think is still as much in doubt as it was at the beginning of the season. So, I mean, the comps, I think, are all probably the same. The high end comp on Keontae is Jamal Murray. The high end comp on Taylor Hendricks might be Jaren Jackson Jr., though he's a little shorter. So it might have to be some other 6'9 defender instead. I think Jaren Jackson's 6'11. Bryce Sensabaugh, is he Tim Hardaway Jr.'s, is probably his high end ceiling. But those are, you know, high end ceilings. I don't know that any of those guys get there, but I don't think I've seen anything that changes what the ceiling were for these players. I mean, certainly, you know, I think you've been on this one, Ben. Like, we'd all like to see the ball go in more for Keontae right now. Like, the numbers are a little scary. But also, when you stop and go, okay, well, what's happened? Your point has been since Jordan Clarkson stopped playing. Mine is since Lauri Markkanen stopped playing.
Yeah.
Both are accurate. But Keontae's shooting percentage, when he plays without Lauri Markkanen, is dramatically different than when he plays with him. And I think the same is true that you've pointed out for Jordan Clarkson. So, again, I'm just not willing to the circumstances have been such, I'm not willing to do a lot of evaluating on who they are, kind of back to our last 20 games of the season. I don't think anything's changed when you drafted and what we've seen. It's not as though, you know, Keontae's more athletic than I thought he was. Bryce is as powerful. Taylor's as athletic. It hasn't been like, oh, gosh, you know, Taylor can't do this or do that. In fact, Taylor's moving much better laterally at this point of the season than when he was earlier this year. So I've actually seen an increase in some of the athleticism on Taylor than what I saw earlier this year.
So, David, I can only imagine that back when you were a young program director / show host in Salt Lake City back in the 90s, that one of your layup summer topics was always, because it always has been as long as I've been doing it too, is what if another major league franchise came to Utah? We'll take your calls right now. You know, I mean, is it going to be baseball? Is it going to be hockey? Could we support it? David, we're on the cusp. It may happen. It looks likely, and I'm not trying to downgrade RSL, which has been a great success, but you know, you talked about it back then. It may happen. We're this close. What do you think?
So I've had been very fortunate in my career, and most of it's happened in Utah, to have some real highlight moments. And the two highlight moments of my broadcast career, I think, relate to this, so I will share them. or two of the highlight moments. There have probably been some others. But the one that jumps out to me the most, the number one moment that I remember being the most emotional moment I've ever had broadcasting in my entire career, was at Washington Square in downtown Salt Lake City, which I think is what it's still called, when they announced the Olympics were coming to Salt Lake. I think that was 94. So I've now dated myself. That was, 30 years ago that I was broadcasting for here in Salt Lake City? But I think if you go back, I think that's 1994, Sports Radio 570. Boy. And I was on the air live when they made that announcement. That's the most emotional moment I've ever had as a broadcaster, other than maybe one other. That the world had chosen to come to Salt Lake. I remember that. And I don't know if people know this, but my dad got in business here in 1976. You know, and at the time, I don't think Western Airlines existed. I don't think you could get fresh fish. I mean, there's been an evolution in this marketplace of just really going from, the Diamond Lils of the world to the Flemings, right? Diamond Lils is closed, so
Diamond
I think I can say
Lils.
That. Right? Right? I mean, Chuck-O-Rama was our high-level cuisine there for a while. And Diamond Lils, and now we have Tekashi. We've emerged. And, so that moment to me still just, I have a picture of it framed in my office, actually. It's really a meaningful moment that my dad was on the very first ever Olympic committee for Salt Lake. So I'm sure there was some very personal, that's got some real personal ties to me too. But it really was incredible. The second was, was the tour stop by Jim Rome when at the time Rome was the biggest of the big. And we had in 1998, we had him out here and we filled the Gallivan Center. And the reason I just bring these two moments up is that they're just kind of, they were the biggest, having another franchise come to Salt Lake and have a league say, yes, yeah, we'll take your ownership and we believe in your city and we believe in your ownership in Ryan Smith, but it also is we believe in your market and what's being built here, I think is kind of in that realm of that kind of moment to me of the fact that this city is just growing up, that we've all been here and we've all seen it. And, I obviously have been here for, I took a little respite where I went away, but my dad got in business here in 76 and was major, worked with, I go back to Mayor Wilson and, whose daughter is now the mayor of Salt Lake County and all those kind of meetings that I was lucky as a kid to hear about trying to grow this city, to have him actually now come to fruition with another pro sports franchise is amazing. It also is just, Ryan is just bullish. He believes in Utah. He just says it all the time. And he's backing that up with another $1 billion. So, which is just a sentence that's weird. So I'm sorry, I'm kind of babbling about it, but I'm thinking about it. I think it's, monumentally huge moment for the state. And, I've talked to a lot of people that I kind of think by 2034, you have a second Olympics and three major sports franchises here. And that's just a different city than the one that, we were here, before. You just kind of run through the moments. I can do it, so I'll stop here because I kind of want to keep babbling. But it's just, it's really fascinating to look back at how this place has grown and the impact of Delta Airlines and the Olympics in 2002 and then individual companies along the way. And I think Qualtrics, personally, I feel like Qualtrics is going to be the Microsoft to Seattle. I was in Seattle post the big Microsoft millionaires all starting their own companies. And next thing those were all being built and you had, and I think Qualtrics is going to create the same thing. There's a lot of people walking around here with a lot of money right now. They're going to reinvest in our community and build the next version of the next companies. And it's going to be pretty awesome to see. Sorry. That was really long. Sorry.
No, all good. Very appropriate. You brought up Mayor Wilson. He passed away this morning. I don't know if you,
I didn't know that
news.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sorry. I did not know. That's terrible. He and my dad did a lot of work and my dad thought very, very, very highly of him. I know. So.
Oh, absolute legend in the community. It's 100%.
Oh, I did not know that. Thoughts to his daughter, Jenny, and their family. We've actually got to know them through school a little bit. So, a lot of thoughts to all of them.
Man, it's been
fun. I'm sorry to hear that.
Love hearing your perspective, though, David, because it certainly is fun being a part of the growth of the sports industry in this market, and you've been around it obviously longer than I have, and were a pioneer in your, I almost want to say previous career, because, you know, it's different than what you're doing now, but pretty cool to be here for it all.
I mean, I think it's really, like, it's neat to have kind of, I don't know, to grow up somewhere, or like, you know, I joke all the time about, oh gosh, I'm getting old, but there's actually a really wonderful thing about getting old, right? Like, you know, like to be here when the first sports, to be a part of the very first sports radio station in the market, to then be a part of, you know, working with Chris Tunis when he moved from KSL, and, you know, we were doing magazine styles to suddenly doing real talk shows, to suddenly having the number one sports station and sports talk show in the market now, you know, which in some extent I think mattered. Like, we proved in the mid 90s, like, how big a sports community this is. And what you're capable of doing. And, you know, the fans of Delta Center for all those years have proven it. And it's just neat, you know, see what the Millers built. Right. It feels to me, I made this comment on Locked On Jazz today, feels like we've just been also very fortunate with our ownerships. Like, the Millers were there at the right time and the right place to save us when we could have been, we're in Vegas and on our way out, and Salt Lake would have never been a major city. Had the Jazz left when Larry saved them, like, we're not getting another franchise. This would, you know, we'd just be sitting here. And, you know, for us to be able to then maintain that, show the world. And then I do think that Ryan and Ashley have taken with this aggressive ownership style at the right time, the right place and time. You know, the article came out yesterday in the Deseret News, we're the number one growing economy in America. Like, it's the right time to have an ownership who is got youth, guts, and bullish, and a buttload of money. And it's pretty neat to see.
Ben, it was pretty funny. All the broadcast assistants the other night dressed like David for the game. It was a pretty good bit.
I saw Kristen.
Did you notice right away, David? Because David's got a, we've got a staff on the radio broadcast. How many broadcast assistants do we have this year, David?
Five.
And then Jamil jumped in, and everybody dressed like you the other night. It was funny.
Well, Kristen doesn't wear oversized sweaters and black pants and Jordans very often, so I realized.
So you noticed
pretty quickly when I saw Kristen. Tyler Gibb, who does great work, just dressed like he often is. And Leaf could have looked like he was just being more formal for the day. But Kristen was a pretty good dead giveaway.
That was the tell. David, you are the best. I look forward to seeing you tonight, man. It's going to be...
I want to take a moment. Yeah. I want to tip my hat to you if I can. And Ben, you filled in a good deal, but I really want to tip my hat to Jake. I did it for many, many years. If we're going to go back through, you know, this kind of sentimental look at things because of the hockey franchise, I did it for many, many years where I hosted a show, I think actually the exact same time of the day that you're doing it, and then also had to do the Jazz games at night. And those were some of the most exhausting times of my life. I did the same in Seattle. So it's a lot of work for you to circle back and turn the energy back on at 6 o'clock every night to do the pregame show and to rev it back up. And I admire the work you do. You've done a great job. And frankly, to some extent, your job in a season in which there are not a lot of wins is far harder than mine. Mine is just to tell people what's happening. You have to analyze and talk about it without the luxury of just following the ball. So I admire the work you and Tim have done a great deal. And hope everyone in Utah knows how lucky they are to have you doing that, because it takes a lot to juice that thing back up every night. And you've done a wonderful job with it.
Oh, man, David, that is such a terrific compliment. Thank you very much. That really makes my day. And I'll just add this, that it makes it a lot easier when we work with such a great group. Not just good at what they do, but like really fun to be around and make it a little bit easier, like in who you work with. So appreciate you and all you do, man.
Thanks a lot, guy. Talk to you soon.
See you, buddy.
See you tonight.
Yep.
Okay.
There you go. The one and only David Locke.